tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden age. I'm Mark Levonier. There's horror in this hour, later on from a 1942 broadcast of Lights Out. But right now, it's Escape, featuring the Jack London story, The Scarlet Plague, first published in London Magazine in June of 1912. The CBS broadcast, first heard on April 8th, 1954.
Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape.
Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
You are alone in a world of decay and desolation, looking down on what was once a great city, while coming slowly to meet you, a hand stretched out in greeting to you, is a beautiful girl whose very existence may be the cause of your death.
Listen now as Escape brings you Jack London's classic novel, The Scarlet Plague.
I am recording this only for myself, for my own sanity. Perhaps even from some age-old sense of duty, for I have not the slightest hope that it will ever be heard by any living human being. I was at one time a professor of English literature in the great university at San Francisco. Professor James Smith, a man who believed in reason and intellect, and who abhorred the instincts of animal nature. But that was before the terror and the madness of the Scarlet Plague. This morning I killed a sheep with my bare hands. Then, squatting on the ground, I tore a haunch from my prey and ate it raw. It began simply on a Monday morning, as I recall. I was having breakfast at the counter in the campus cafeteria with Bill Dombey of the physiology department. He was glancing over the front page of the morning paper.
I don't know why I do it, Jim.
Do what?
Buy a paper every morning. Nothing changes but the date. Senator so-and-so back in Washington after whirlwind tour, love nest killing in Omaha, new bomb tested into a talk scheduled
what?
For the...
What's that item down at the bottom?
Where?
Down the corner. New York fights Scarlet Plague.
Some news reporter's pipe dream, I suppose. Nine persons have died since last evening of a strange malady which has left doctors at Manhattan hospitals admittedly baffled. The disease, if it is a disease, strikes without warning and slays its victim in less than an hour. Apparently, the first symptoms are a feeling of well-being and lightheadedness, accompanied by a slight rise in temperature. A few minutes later, a fiery red rash appears on the hands and face and spreads rapidly over the entire body. Within 10 to 30 minutes, the victim goes into coma and dies. Ridiculous. There's no disease that acts like that. It's food poisoning, something of that sort.
Please, Bill, I'm eating.
Medical authorities are unanimously agreed, however, that no general danger exists and that there is no cause for public concern or alarm, which is double talk for we don't know what it is yet.
What about a mutation?
Mutation of what?
Well, how do I know? You're the physiologist.
Oh, you're talking about those scare stories, I suppose. Harmless virus or bacteria mutates and throws down some new deadly type. Antibiotics won't touch it. Medical science helpless. A million people wiped out overnight.
It's a possibility, isn't it?
Oh, Jim, bacteria strains are always mutating. And usually the mutation is less harmful than the parent. That idea has been overworked for years. Pass the cream, please.
Oh. Bill?
Hmm?
Is it a possibility or not?
Yes, it's a possibility. Hey, you're stalling, Jim. That rook's the only piece you can move, and you know it.
Don't rush me now. I still got the queen back here. Now, let's see.
And here is the latest development on the Scarlet Plague.
No, the Scarlet
The following
Plague.
Statement was released a few minutes ago
I wouldn't
by
move
the
that
director
if I were you.
Of the Bureau of Public Health. Up to this hour, the official death toll in Greater New York is 321 persons. In Boston, 94. Washington, D.C., 111. Chicago, 181. Medical
spreading like wildfire, yeah.
Working around the clock. It is expected momentarily that the causative agent of the disease will be isolated and an effective treatment prescribed. Meanwhile, stay home and stay calm. We return you now to dance time.
Turn it off, Jim.
How can it spread so fast?
It's hard to tell, not knowing the period of incubation, whether it's airborne, contagious by contact, how long it's contagious before the symptoms show up, not even knowing what it is, in fact. One thing sure, though, something's got to be done fast.
I guess we can call ourselves lucky out here. There hasn't been a case reported in San Francisco.
No, not yet.
When all the breathers of this world are dead, you still shall live. Such virtue hath my pen, where breath most breathes, even in the mouths of men. Now, I did not choose this particular sonnet because of possible contemporary suitability, but because it does, I think, best keynote the transitional phase that later appears in the philosophies and the poetic... Is something wrong back there?
Smith!
Yes, what's the trouble, Miss Baxter?
Look, it's the Scarlet Plague!
Oh, now wait. Morley, Everett, wait and give me a hand here. Miss Wilson.
Professor Smith, look at my hands. My arm's all red.
Now, Miss Wilson.
I feel so strange. Cold and numb. I'm dying. Everyone who gets it dies. I'm only 19 and I'm dying.
There.
When all breathers of this world are dead, you...
Now it's in San Francisco. I sat for a long time in the empty classroom, paralyzed by shock, by a strange fear I'd never felt before, the fear of the unknown. The girl had walked into my class smiling and talking, and now she lay dead at the back of the room. Why? How could it happen so suddenly? What had caused the plague? Where had the terror started? And where would it end? I went to the faculty club. Bill Dombey was listening to the latest reports.
From around the nation include the following figures. Greater New York, estimated 184,000 deaths. Philadelphia, estimated 150,000 deaths. St. Louis, estimated 83,000 deaths. Chicago, one moment, please. A bulletin has just been handed to me from London. The Scarlet Plague is raging in Europe. Unofficial reports from Russia estimate the death toll in Moscow at 180,000 with additional... millions dead and dying throughout the Soviet Union and China. New bulletins will be broadcast whenever they are received for as long as our facilities last. And we...
No word of any cure yet?
Jim, I didn't hear you come in.
I just walked across the campus. It's completely deserted.
Yes. Guess the faculty club here is the only holdout. And at that, there are only four.
Four?
Counting you. Myra Blake of Graphic Arts. She went over to her room to pack some keepsakes. She'll be back. Dr. Barnes is out in the kitchen trying to rustle up something to drink.
Bill, that girl who died in my class a while ago, one minute she was all right, and a minute later she was dead.
Well, it's fast. That's one thing.
Can you get it from contact? I lifted her head. I put some books under it.
Nobody knows how you get it. I don't suppose contact matters much. It couldn't be all contact. Not millions of cases in less than 48 hours.
Well, why can't they find a cure? They've had 2 days now. What are they all doing?
Dying, Jim, like everybody else.
Tombi, Smith.
Oh, Dr. Barnes.
Here, maybe this will help.
Scotch?
Why not? There's a whole case of it out there. I think it might be a good idea to keep that radio on.
Yes, you're probably right, Dr. Barnes. Technicians, engineers, they've died by thousands all over the country. How much longer can services like radio, telephones, transportation...
Minutes ago. All conveyances, regardless of ownership or occupancy, are being stopped and turned back at Army control points. Stay where you are. Do not attempt to travel. You are no safer in one place than in another. The plague is everywhere. Repeat, the plague is everywhere.
It won't stop, they'll still try to run.
Yes, anywhere, just as long as it's somewhere else.
Has not mutinied. Repeat, the Army has not mutinied.
It must be getting rough out there.
Signed by Edmund C. Dover, Senate member and acting president of the United States, and by the Joint Chiefs of Staff. In a bulletin just handed to me, Johns Hopkins regretfully states that Dr. Theodore von Zwickler, who had earlier announced partial success in identifying the causative agent of the plague, has just died. Though Dr. Zwickler left no notes on his work, hospital personnel continued to...
What happened to the lights?
Power failure, I guess. It was bound to happen sooner or later.
There's a flashlight in that desk drawer.
I got it.
There's a portable radio with batteries in the game room.
Oh, let's leave it for the moment, Dr. Bond.
Yes, the liquor sounds better than the news.
Well, in that case... I wonder what's keeping Miss Blake. She was coming right back.
Hey, wait a minute.
Huh?
Where's that light coming from?
It's like a fire. Maybe we can see from the windows.
Not one fire, 1,000 fires.
Down there, toward the bay. Berkeley, Oakland, and over in the city. Why? What started them?
Get this window open. Can't you hear why, Jim?
Gunfire.
Yes. They're not waiting for the plague to do the job.
No. They're already out in force. The looters, the maimers, the robbers, people with a hate and a grievance.
And if it started already, it'll get a lot worse.
Oh, yes. It'll get worse.
Stood at the window of the faculty club, looking out across the campus, down over the hills toward the bay, where fires lit up the growing night, and where even fiercer fires of greed and lust and hate burned in hearts that were beating their last hours or even seconds of life in this world. For a world was dying at our feet, and though we had so far been spared, we knew we, too, were dying with it.
Contact is still being maintained with Buenos Aires. And since London overseas went silent a few minutes ago, this is now our only contact outside continental North America.
It makes you know you're
we
alone.
We are at present able
really
to maintain
alone,
contact with only 2 stations in this country, Washington and Chicago. The West Coast has been silent for some 30 minutes. And we do not know whether we are being heard there at this time.
Oh, this is unbelievable.
At the
crazy
moment, we are waiting for word
it
from Washington naming the new president of the United States to replace Edmund C. Dover, who died on the Senate platform while attempting to conduct...
Yeah. What's the use?
Well, are we still agreed on leaving?
We must. If by some miracle we do survive, we'll be out of food here in 3 days. And tonight may be the last chance to find any. Probably looting every store in the Bay Area.
Grocery stores, liquor stores, jewelers, fur shops.
More the reason to get started now, then.
Right. If we can make 3 or 4 trips with the station wagon tonight, we ought to be set here for quite a while. What about those pistols, Dr. Barnes? You said there were a couple in the safe.
Yes, I'll get them.
It's funny how things are changing. He was chancellor of this university. Now he's foraging for food.
Yes, well, I'll gas up the station wagon and get it over here so we can...
Is anybody here?
Well, Jim, turn that flashlight on the door.
Myra.
Jim, thank heaven you're still here.
Oh, Dr. Barnes was worried about you, Myra. He just went into the other room. I'll tell him you're here.
All right, Jim. I was afraid there might not be anybody here. I was hurrying to get back, and I caught my heel on the edge of the walk and fell. I think I hit my head.
Tripped and fell. The whole world dying, and you trip and fall.
I guess it is funny.
Myra? Bill?
What is it?
What's wrong?
Dr. Barnes is lying just outside.
Dead. Plague?
Oh. Yes. But he got the pistols.
Yeah. Thanks. Do you know how to use one of these, Jim?
In a general way. Well, we'd better get started, Bill. We shouldn't be too long, Myra.
You're not going to leave me here alone.
Well, she's right, Jim. I wouldn't want to be left alone either.
All right. Let's go.
We tried the Oakland docks first, the big food warehouses along the railroad tracks. It was a dead end. From a mile away, we could see the blaze towering into the night sky. The whole dock area was in flames. We swung the station wagon back onto the ramp and headed across the Bay Bridge toward the city itself, fighting our way in and out of the jumbled traffic and the terrified crowds on foot, turning and twisting among the dead and dying.
We've got to go back, Bill. This is getting worse every block.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to get a chance to turn around.
There's an alley there by the hotel. Maybe you can edge in there.
It's worth a try, anyway.
Look out, Bill!
Hey, watch who you're bumping into.
Sorry?
I ain't taking a pushing around from nobody. Not anymore, you understand?
I told
you. That's on account of what I got. You take a look at a .45, wise guy.
Careful, Bill. He's drunk.
Look close, and you can see the bullet coming out. Watch now.
No!
I bet he saw it all right. I bet he got a real good look at
him. He's crazy, Myra. Come on, hurry. We've got to get out of here.
What about the other man?
We'll leave the car. Come on, out this side. This way, Myra. The hotel entrance. Out of the way. One side. Step aside. All right, come on.
What can we do, Jim? They saw us come in. They'll be after us any second.
The stairway there, next to the elevators. Hurry, Myra. Maybe we can find a room, some place to hide in case they come up the stairs.
Try that one, Jim.
All right.
Hey, look! We've got more guests.
Sorry.
Come on in and live. That's what all of us are doing. Living while we're dying.
A party.
Come on in. We got plenty to eat, plenty to drink. 50 pounds of diamonds, tons of money, lots of women, and not a worry in the world.
Come on, Myra, let's go.
Soar ahead! Come on, Lily, open another bottle.
Jim, where can we go?
Well, the hotel's about 12 or 14 stories high. The elevators aren't working. I doubt if anybody'd bother us on one of the top floors. They wouldn't have any reason to climb up there. You want to try it?
All right, Jim.
Let's go.
For 5 days, we stayed on the top floor of the hotel, and no one came up to bother us. Twice, with pistol in hand, I left Myra in the room and slipped down into the streets to forage for food and supplies. Gradually, over the 3 days, I saw the mobs diminish, thin out, as the scarlet plague continued to rage unchecked. Then finally, on the morning of the 6th day, I brought Myra down from the room to see what had happened to the city.
There's not a person in sight, Jim. No one but us. Not another living soul as far as you can see.
Listen. There's not a sound.
A dead world. But there must be others, Jim. Not just us. They're hiding. We'll take a car and drive and look for them. There must be others.
But she was wrong. We drove for 100 miles, all over the city and the countryside around it. And when we finally stopped on a hill above the bay, we knew that there was not another living soul in the whole city. We were the only human beings left alive in San Francisco, and most likely the only ones in the entire world.
But why, Jim? Why us and no one else?
I don't know why.
I don't know why any of this. It's just too vast to begin to comprehend. But we're alive. That's the only thing that's certain. We're both alive. To be alone, to be the only living human in the world, would mean terror. Absolute terror and insanity.
I feel guilty somehow. Being alive when everyone else is dead.
There can't be any guilt when you don't have a choice. It was nothing we did. And besides, Myra, don't you see what it means? Since we've been spared, mankind itself has been spared, and civilization. We'll have children. We'll teach them. See that they remember and pass on the greatness of the past.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Together. Together we can do it. We can give mankind another chance. You and I, Myra, we can keep it from being lost forever. Together, everything is different. There's a new hope, something to live for and work for. And we...
What's wrong, Jim?
Myra.
What?
Your face. It's turning scarlet.
Under the direction of Norman McDonald, Escape has brought you The Scarlet Plague by Jack London, specially adapted for radio by Les Crutchfield, starring Vic Perrin. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear, Virginia Gregg, and John Daner, with Eleanor Tannen, John Larch, Barney Phillips, and Sam Edwards. Your announcer, George Walsh. The special music for Escape is composed and conducted by Leith Stevens. Next week.
You are standing in the bedroom of an English inn. The sound of revelry coming faintly up the stairs. While in the shadows across the room from you, the gun in his hand already aimed at you, is an enemy agent whose success depends upon your death.
So listen next week when Escape brings you Ben Wright's story, Affair at Mandrake. Every Saturday evening at the Star's Address, enjoy William Conrad as Marshal Matt Dillon in Gunsmoke. It's a drama of the frontier of America in the 1870s. Authentic, dramatic, and full of the lore that made the American cowboy a part of our national heritage. Remember, Gunsmoke, Saturday night. Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, is heard Friday nights on the CBS Radio Network.
Escape, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 8th of April, 1954, on CBS. You are listening to An Hour of Horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm Mark LeVonier. Now it's time for the Lights Out series, this episode called Scoop, heard on December 8th, 1942, on CBS.
Ionized Yeast presents Lights Out. Everybody. Stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you, calmly but sincerely, to turn off your radio now.
My name, Arch Obler. Tonight, another exciting Lights Out story for all of you who like to thrill and chill to tales of the unusual. Tonight's story happened because one rainy night I found myself stranded near an old New England graveyard.
Daily Express. City editor, one moment. Daily Express. Want ad department, one moment, please. There you are. Daily Express. Sport department, whom do you wish to speak to? One moment, please. Daily Express. One moment, I'll connect you.
Good morning, Mr. Roberts.
Good morning, Jim.
Kind of late today, aren't you, Mr. Roberts?
First time in 40 years. Can't understand what happened to my alarm clock.
Well, maybe it wore out.
Worn out. Maybe that's right. Just worn out.
Hold up a minute, will you, Mr. Roberts? I want to talk to you.
I'm late, Carter. What can I...
It's about that money, Mr. Roberts. I was wondering if you'd wait to say...
Of course, my boy. Of course. How is she?
Oh, doing fine. Mr. Roberts, I want you to know how much Jean and I appreciate
you. All right, all right. We're all human beings together, aren't we?
Some folks are.
I'm late. Got to hurry. See you later.
Thanks again, Mr. Roberts.
Oh.
Sam. Sam Roberts.
Yes, Harry.
Have you heard the news?
No. It's so late, didn't even look at the paper.
Why, it's only 2 minutes after.
2 minutes after is 2 minutes late, Harry.
Sam Roberts, you're the... Oh, well. Listen, have you heard about Bridge? He's here.
Eh?
Bridge. Mr. Bridge, the new publisher.
Oh, him. Well, that's nice. He's taking things over.
Sam, you're not in the least bit interested in the fact that there's a new man on top, are you?
Well, I've been here so long, and many have come and gone.
But aren't you afraid of...
Well, finish it, Harry. Afraid of what?
Oh, forget it. That column of yours is all that matters, huh, Sam?
Well, I've been doing it quite a number of years. You know, just this morning, I was thinking... Thinking how fortunate a man I am. For 40 years, things have happened. Wars, peace conferences, depressions, and prosperity. And in all that time,
Mr. Roberts.
Someone paging you, Sam.
Eh?
Mr. Roberts, you wanted upstairs right away.
Upstairs, Jim? Me?
He said come up right away. New boss, Mr. Bridge.
Mr. Bridge?
Yeah, right away. He's the boss.
That's not so good, Sam.
What did you say?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all. You'd better get up there.
Sure. Too bad I was late today. Maybe he's been waiting for me.
Take the side step, Sam. Get up there faster.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Harry. Thanks.
Good luck, Sam.
Luck? Why should I need luck? Funny about that alarm clock.
Yes?
I've never seen... Oh, you're new here, aren't you, Miss?
I'm Miss Ronson, Mr. Bridges' new secretary. What is it, please?
I'm Sam Roberts. Column on the editorial page.
Oh, yes. Mr. Bridge was expecting you. If you'll wait a moment.
Yes.
Yes?
Mr. Roberts is here, Mr. Bridge.
All right, send him in. In a hurry.
Yes, sir. Very well. You can go in now.
Yes. So I heard.
All right, Roberts, come in.
Yes, sir.
Well, come in.
Yes, sir.
Sit there.
I'm pleased to meet you, Mr. Bridge.
Sit down.
Thank you. You know, Mr. Bridge, I think you're going to like publishing the Daily Express. What I mean to say is, on this paper, you'll find a group of men who work together, who actually think that the newspaper is part of their lives, who actually...
Just a moment, Mr. Roberts. I'm a busy man.
I couldn't understand that.
I didn't ask you up here to hear about the esprit de corps of this organization. It's been my personal experience that the average man does what he's paid for. No more, no less.
Oh, now don't say that, Mr. Bridge. Now you take Charlie down at number one linotype. Why, there's a man
Mr.
who...
Roberts.
I'm sorry. I know you're busy, but I thought maybe you'd like to know
I've
something.
I've seen the balance sheet. I know all I want to know about this publication. The Daily Express earned 23% less in the 6 months of this fiscal year than it did in a similar period in any year in its history.
Well, I don't know much about that. But after all, things haven't been going too well anyplace. You can't blame the men.
The men of an organization make money. The men of an organization lose money. And I assure you, Mr. Roberts, that during the next 6 months, this newspaper will make money.
Well, that's fine. I'm sure folks...
Will you keep quiet?
If that's what you want.
Mr. Roberts, there comes a time in every man's life when he ceases to be an asset to the organization which hires him. Might as well be frank and tell you that that time has come in your career.
What did you say, Mr. Bridge?
In plain English, what I said was that you're getting just a little too old for this organization.
Old?
In other words, I'm giving you 2 weeks' notice. Sorry, Mr. Roberts, but that's the way things are. Good day, sir.
You mean fired?
The cashier will have your check. Good day.
But my column...
I'm a busy man, Mr. Roberts.
But my column...
I'm replacing that tomorrow with a syndicated column. Big name Broadway stuff. That's what the public wants.
Mr. Bridge, you don't understand. Thousands of people, they write me. For 40 years, I've been...
If you've been doing it for 40 years, that's long enough. Good day, Mr. Roberts.
But, Mr. Bridge, listen, where should I go? Ever since I was 16, this is my work. I don't know
Must I have you shown up, Mr. Roberts?
No, I don't want to anger you, but my column. 40 years, I tell
Will you.
It isn't the money. I'll work for nothing. I'll work for nothing.
Now, look here, Roberts.
Didn't you hear me, Mr. Bridge? For nothing. Just let me be here.
Get out of here.
No, listen to me. Just a minute more.
I have no time. Get out.
But my 40 years here, since I was a boy.
You've been paid for every day.
Then I don't want any more pay. Just let me stay. My work. A man can't live without his work.
Get out. Miss Ronson.
No. I'll go. But before I go, just another word.
Well?
Who wants me to go? The managing editor or you?
Certainly it's my doing. It's my money invested in the paper. It's my right to choose my employee.
Let me stay.
Oh, what are you going to do? Start playing hearts and flowers?
Please.
Once and for all, get out of here. This is a business institution. You've been paid for services rendered. Now get out of here and stop acting like a fool.
All right, Mr. Bridge. All right.
Yes, Mr. Bridge.
Go ahead with the rest of them. Get them up here one at a time.
Yes, Mr. Bridge.
Every man in the organization over 50, understand?
Yes, Mr. Bridge. Do you want me to include...
What? Miss Ronson. Miss Ronson, what's the matter? Answer me. Crazy little fool screaming like that. Answer me. All right, I'll come out there and see what's the matter. Look here, Miss Ronson. Didn't you hear me? What was the idea of... Miss Ronson, what's the matter with you?
The window. Lord.
Window? What about the window?
That old man, Mr. Roberts.
Well?
He just jumped out.
Ladies and gentlemen, a man is dead. And before this death leads to the other terrors that lie ahead in this strange story, suppose we pause for a moment, relax, and take time out for a deep breath in the midst of our lights-out story. Let's take time to eavesdrop on two young girls. One of them is very unhappy. Lights out. The publisher and his chauffeur are driving along a country road.
Jenkins?
Yes, sir.
Why are you taking this road?
Well, I don't quite know,
What do you
sir.
Mean you don't know? What are you talking about?
Well, I mean it's a shortcut here.
Now, why didn't you say so in the first place?
Sorry, sir.
Jenkins?
Yes, sir.
How soon do you think we'll get to Hartville?
About midnight, sir.
Well, that wife of mine, she thinks of the blameless time, Mr. Jenkins. Jenkins, what are we slowing up for?
I don't know, sir. The engine...
Well, of all the infernal times and places... Jenkins, what's the idea?
It ain't my idea stopping, sir. It's the engine.
This is no time for cleverness. You car like this stalling, I never heard of such a thing. Get it started quickly.
Yes, sir.
Well...
Something's wrong.
Now, that's brilliant. Get out, you fool, and fix it.
Okay.
What's that?
I said yes, sir.
Oh, the rattle brain... Well, what are you doing out there?
Trying to find the trouble.
Well, don't try. Find it. Oh, I better go out and see myself what... Well, have you located the trouble?
No, sir.
What do you mean, no, sir? Do you know your business or don't you?
Don't seem to be getting any sparks. The distributors don't.
And why doesn't the engine go? What do I pay you for? To stand around lonely roads in the middle of the night holding guessing games?
Doing my best.
Don't you talk back to me. If this car started, you incompetent good for nothing, or you're fired. You understand me?
Yeah. Okay.
Jenkins, where are you going? Jenkins!
Said I was fired, did you?
Come back here. Come back here at once.
Yeah, I'll come back. Long enough to tell you that if I could take about 20 years off you, I'll change your face plenty before walking out on you.
Why, how dare you?
You shove everybody else around. If you shove me around for the last time, I'm walking out on you, sourpuss. I'm walking out right now.
Why, you can't leave me here in the middle of nowhere.
Can't I? Well, I'm doing it.
Now, Jenkins, you...
So long, dictator. Have a nice walk.
Jenkins. Jenkins, don't be a fool. Come back here. Jenkins, get this car started. Jenkins! Oh, all right. If you haven't heard the last of this, I'll fix you, you hoodlum. Leaving me like this, you'll regret it, Jenkins. Blasted dark. Think I'll walk my feet off, huh? Oh, no, I won't. Get in the car. Sit here until someone comes along. Infernal hoodlum.
I beg your pardon.
Huh?
Could I be of assistance?
Where?
I was walking along. I saw you were stalled here.
Oh. Oh, well, that's fine. Yes, you can help me. I'll pay you well, too.
Will you?
Certainly, certainly. You know about cars?
I will drive.
Well, that's fine, but you'll have to get it started first. Something about the ignition. I don't know much about machinery, do you?
If you will let me sit behind the steering wheel.
Certainly, certainly, but fix the engine first.
If you will let me sit behind the steering wheel.
But I tell you, the engine... Oh, all right. You'll see for yourself the starter doesn't do any good. But... Start.
Yeah.
Infernal Jenkins, he stalled me here deliberately.
We will go.
He'll regret this night, believe you me. Nothing wrong with the car at all, was there?
It runs well.
Say, what's the idea of turning down this road? This isn't the way to...
It's a short way.
Huh?
A much shorter way.
You mean to Hartville?
I assure you, a much shorter way.
Oh, fine. Pretty clever fella. Say, how would you like working as my chauffeur? I pay well, treat my help well. But, did you hear me? I said, how would you like the job working for me? I'll start you out at... Hey, why do you keep your head turned? What? Wait. I turn the headlights off. Stop the car. The headlights are off. Stop the car. You can't drive in the dark.
I know the road well.
This is no dim-out area. Someone might run into us. Stop the car.
There is no time to wait.
Yes, yes, I'll grant you I'm in a hurry, but if you think I'm going to jeopardize my life driving in the dark like this, you're crazy. Stop the car. Stop it. Well, it's more like it. No use jeopardizing my life. Well, come on, get out. You can fix the light.
Yeah.
Everything happening at once. Blasted automobile. Well, why stand there? You going to fix the light?
There will be light enough soon.
Huh? What are you talking about?
The moon.
The moon?
In a moment. The moonlight.
Moonlight? Who cares about moonlight? Fix the lights and... What?
You see...
Cemetery. The cemetery.
We went where the road led.
What's the meaning of this?
Come.
Come? Come where? What are you up to? Why did you bring me to this infernal graveyard?
Follow me.
Follow you? Where? Among the tombstones?
This way.
Are you crazy? Get me out of here quickly.
You will follow me.
What are you up to? Your face. I have seen you before. This blasted half-light. I do know you, don't I?
I ask you once more. Come with me.
No. No violence. My money, it's in my inside pocket. Let me go, but no violence.
With me.
No. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. I can't stand pain. I'll go with you. I'll go.
This way.
If you think there's any profit in kidnapping me, let me tell you you're mistaken. Here, take my wallet and show me the way out of here, and we'll forget about the whole thing.
This way.
No. Don't make me walk too fast. I'm not used to walking. It isn't good for me to walk so fast. Now, listen, man, you've got to tell me. Where are you taking me? Where is there to go in the cemetery? I don't like it, I tell you, I don't. If this is your idea of a joke, I tell you, I don't like it. The tombstones shining so white, they're like hands stuck up out of the ground. No, I won't go any further. I don't care what you do, I won't go any... The moonlight's gone. Fellow, where are you? It's gotten so dark. Don't leave me here. Those infernal graves and tombstones. Answer me. Where are you?
All right. I had my way up myself. So infernally dark, I can't see an inch in front of me. Doorknob. The door here. What? But how? What steps going down? I wonder what... Door!
Let me out. Let me out of here. Let me out. Get me out of here.
I'm here.
Huh? Where? Oh. I heard you. Are you down there?
I am here.
Tell me, is that the way out?
The way out.
Oh. Wait for me. Wait for me. It's so infernally dark. Just get me out of here. Get me back in my car. Any place but out of this infernal cemetery. I'll pay you well, anything you want. Oh. There you are. What is this place? Where am I? Well, don't stand there in the shadows. Talk up. Where am I?
Look about you.
Infernal candlelight. What can I see? He said this was the way out. Well, lead the way.
Take up the candle.
All right, all right.
Look at the wall alongside of you. Hold the candle high.
What is this place?
You see?
Coffins.
The mausoleum of the family of Fritz. Your family.
No.
Look closely. The brass plate on that one.
Jeremiah Bridge. Born 1802, died 1858. My grandfather.
You never were here before, were you?
Huh? Oh, no. No, of course not. I can't stand funerals and such things. Why am I here now?
They lived their years. The men of the family called Bridge. They lived their years like robber barons.
Hmm?
And then they died, and here in darkness rots their bones.
What are you talking about? Who are you? Why did you bring me here?
I tried to rest, yet found no rest as long as you were living.
Who are you?
As long as you were living.
Answer me, who are you? Take your arm away from your face and let me see. Roberts.
Yes. I tried to rest. But the thought of all the men, my friends, whose hearts you'd break as you broke mine, that thought kept tearing at the dead bones of me until I thrust up out of the grave and came back for
Roberts,
you.
Roberts, your face.
My coffin was a poor one. Worms and maggots worked quickly.
No.
The dead are dead, they told me.
Stay back.
The dead can't walk, they told me.
No closer.
The dead can't talk, they told me.
Stay back.
And yet I walk, I talk.
Back.
When you took away my work, you took away my life.
Back.
All the years I lived, I was what they call a good man. Asking so little. A place to sleep, my work to do.
No, 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 stop. I can't bear to look at you.
But when you took my work, and with it, my life, my goodness and kindness went too. In the grave, I learned the will to kill.
No, no, not me.
You hear me? Kill. And you, the one to be
killed. No, 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 not me, not me, not me. You can't kill me.
Here in the place where all of your breed lie rotting, this is the place for you.
No, stay back. I can't go any further than the wall.
There's hate in me now. Hate. That
please.
Wants to tear the eyes that saw only profit from your head.
Oh, please, no, I beg of
you. Hate that wants to rip that fat, hypocritical tongue from out your head.
Please, not me.
Hate that wants to rip the skin from off your flesh.
No, stop. Dead can't kill the living.
Hate can kill in life or death.
No, I'll get away from you. I will. Dark again. Roberts, where are you? I can't see. Then where? Gone. Hide. I'll hide till morning. What? Box. Coffin. Empty coffin on the floor. Yes, hide in it. Climb in. Put the lid down. Yes? Never get me in here. Ghosts and old material things. Never get me.
Wait until morning, get away then. Never happened anyway. Hallucination. Man jumped out of the window. How could he live again? Air. I think air's getting bad. Open the lid and see if he's gone. Can't budge it. He's sitting on it. Robert's holding it tight. Get off. Get off. The air, I'll suffocate. Get off. Robert, get off.
Say, Miss Ranson.
Yes?
Where's Mr. Bridge? Something's come up about the Grosvenor contract. He said he'd have the paper signed.
Just a minute. Mr. Bridge hasn't come in yet this morning.
Morning? Well, it's almost noon.
I know it is, but he isn't here. Had about a dozen appointments, but he just isn't here.
Perhaps he left it on his desk.
You'd better not disturb his papers.
Oh, I won't. Miss Ranson, come here, quick.
What is it? What's the matter?
Look, the proof sheet. What a night's paper. Where did it come from?
Why, I don't know. It wasn't there when I came in this morning.
Look at it. Look at it.
All
look
right.
What it says.
All right. Scoop. J. Rogers Bridge, publisher of the Daily Express, committed suicide last night in his family mausoleum in the Rosewood Cemetery. Oh, no.
And look. Look at the signature. It's signed Roberts.
Roberts. Oh, but he's the old man who jumped out of the window.
Wait. Look. Message. It's printed on... Oh, no.
Printed on what? Tell me.
On a piece of human skin.
Newspaper man has supernatural powers, but I never expected to meet one who had returned from the grave to make his last deadline. Oh, by the way, that brings up something I've been meaning to ask you.
What's that, Frank?
Do you think that under some circumstances a person might return from the dead?
Frank, I do have an idea about that, but I'm going to suggest that we put it with the unfinished business to be taken up in the near future, because after you say a word, I've got something very important I'd like to say to our listeners.
Iron Eyes. And look for the big letters IY on the package and on each tablet. Now, Arch Obler with a serious message for every American.
Ladies and gentlemen, a few weeks ago on another network, I started a game. Perhaps you heard about it. It's called They're Here for Me. It's a very simple game. You sit where you are and you think, the Japs, the Nazis, they're here for me. Not for someone in the newspaper or someone in a town halfway across the world or someone I don't even know in this neighborhood or even for my neighbor next door, but for me. For me. Yeah, a smirking little Jap is standing at the door. He's there for you, not in the headlines, not just in an idea, but actually there for you. It can't happen, you know. 3 million dead in Europe attest to that fact. Now, even if the words such as duty to one's fellow man and patriotism and a better world to come and all that sort of thing may not mean much to you. Out of self-interest, these words should. They're here for me. Think about that Jap or that Nazi waiting for you. And then remember that every war saving stamp and every war bond that you buy is a bullet or a bomb or a tank or an airplane between you personally and the horror of a Jap-Nazi world. Every bond that you buy, another bullet or another bomb or another tank or another airplane between you personally and the horror of a Jap-Nazi world. Tell your employer to start taking that 10% out of your pay, starting right now.
Lights Out will come to you again next Tuesday at this same time. Be sure to listen to Arch Oboler's chilling story of Knock at the Door. And if you need more vitamin B and iron, be sure to try ironized yeast, the one and only ironized yeast, with the big letters IY on the package and on each tablet.
It is later than you think.
Ever hear of a substitute for new clothes? You may want one someday now that many clothing materials are becoming harder to get. So take care of your present clothes and let Energene cleaning fluid help you do it. Energene removes little grease spots that are the favorite feeding place of moths. Grease spots that make your clothes look worn, run down, old before their time. And Energene removes those grease spots easily. Simple directions are right on the Energene container. Get some tomorrow and start getting more satisfactory wear from your clothes by keeping them free of grease spots with Energene cleaning fluid. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Lights Out, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 8th of December, 1942, on CBS, a year and a day after the U.S.'s entrance into World War II. And picking up on Arch Oboler's speech at the end of that broadcast, he was a very passionate critic of the war, but also a very passionate individual about bringing Americans together through radio, not only on the edge of their seat, but also with the series in that year called Plays for Americans, which were dramas of life on the home front, and also a special broadcast produced about a week earlier than the one we just heard called To the President, and the story Miracle in 3B, a tale about a woman who could actually stop World War II but did not. Betty Davis was the host. And that brings to a close this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be with us again for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for listening.